you know, we focused on the greatness of God and who He is. And last year, week, we celebrated Easter and the resurrection power of Jesus and all of that. And that is what we celebrate, don't we? You know, we are here today because of the victory Christ has won on the cross, isn't it? And that is what we remind ourselves of. We remind ourselves that we function from a place of victory because of what Jesus did. And so following up with that, I knew I was slotted to preach, so I've been thinking and praying about this for a few weeks now, and I felt God impress this on my heart, and I've been preparing towards it. And for some of you who attended a training yesterday, you'll see the prophetic flow, because my topic today is freedom in Christ. Okay, last week we looked at what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Fantastic, great, but what does that mean for you and I? And so today's message, what I'm going to do is lay first the biblical foundation, and then we're going to look at how does this translate to our life on a day-to-day basis. What does it look like? What does it not shouldn't look like? And then practical tools to be experience this freedom in Christ. Okay, so we prayed every highway must come down, every stronghold shall be broken. What are strongholds? Strongholds are patterns of thought, lofty thoughts in our heads that become strongholds or bondages or ways of thinking. And that's what we want to break today in Jesus' name. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. And now you've said you will lead us into all truth. So we pray, Spirit of God, Spirit of truth, you've said we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. So come and open up our hearts. Come and soften our hearts that the word of God, the seed, will fall on good soil. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My text for today is Galatians 5 and chapter 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Okay? This letter has been written by the Apostle Paul. Paul is establishing and reminds the Galatians, if you look at verse 1, he says that he's an apostle, not chosen by man, but by Jesus himself. He says in another place, one not born by of natural thing, meaning he was not one of the chosen 12. He was an extra that finally God called an apostle. Jesus called him his own. Unlike his other epistles, we will see, you know, where he starts with regular salutations and greetings in the name, you know, I greet you, grace and peace be to you from God our Father, you know, who has blessed us, and he goes into all these things and he reminds them of their salvation and their great calling, you know, and then somewhere down the line, sometimes few chapters later, like in Romans, it takes the first 7 chapters for him, and then in Romans 8 he tells them the purpose for writing his letter. But here we find in verse 3 itself, he's not wasting time with the Galatians. Verse 3 itself, he says, you know, in verse 6 itself he says, I am astonished that you so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ Jesus and turning to a different gospel. So he's not wasting time here. You know, he's shocked that they are turning away from grace. And if you look at it, you know, Paul, he's using pretty strong language in this book. In chapter 3, verse 1, what does he say? You idiots, you foolish Galatians. Imagine if Colin had to start a preach like that. I think next Sunday we would not have any participants. Right now I see 30. You know, I wonder how many screens would come up if Colin says, you idiots, you fools, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? And that's exactly what Paul is doing. Why do you think he's doing it? He wants to shake them up. You know, in, sorry, little strong, but in Hindi they have, or is it Marathi? Kanpatti. What is Kanpatti? One whack under the ears to shake you out of your, you know, fat. One fat, we say, no? This is the colloquialism. I'll give you one Kanpatti I'll give you. That's exactly what Paul is doing here. Are you crazy? Is this what Jesus died for? So that you go back to all this foolishness? One solid whack you need to come back to your senses. That is what Paul is saying. And I think I've got your attention. We need to catch the heart of what he's saying. He wants to jolt them out of their foolish ways of thinking. He wants to remind them of the old covenant and the new. He's saying, you know, in John 1:17, it says, the law came through Moses, but grace came through Jesus. The law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, not for us to camp there, to lead us to Christ in Galatians 3:24. The law was there to lead us. He reminds us that we are all sons of God, okay? Sons through Jesus, sons through faith, okay? Therefore, we are all in Jesus. Galatians 3:28, he says, there is therefore neither Jew, nor Greek, nor Gentile, nor slave, nor free, for we are all one. We are the new vine that has been grafted into Jesus. And now, because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we can cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6-7. We can cry, Abba, Father. Okay? So, it is for freedom Christ has set us free. What is this freedom? Freedom is basically the ability to make choices using the free will that God has given us. We were slaves to sin, now we are no longer. Okay? When we were slaves to sin, in a manner of speaking, we could not really choose. We could not help ourselves but have sinful thoughts and do sinful deeds. We were slaves to sin, but Jesus came to set us free. Hallelujah. True freedom is found in the cross. That is why we celebrate the resurrection. The resurrection is so pivotal to our faith. It's there that Christ was punished on our behalf so that we could be free from sin's debt. Christ's death and resurrection marked the end of sin's power and control over the believer. Just as sin could not control Jesus, so it is powerless to control us. Okay? We who have been placed in Christ because of the faith we have put in the finished work of the cross. Your old nature was crucified on the cross along with Jesus. Yes? Give me a thumbs up. You have been made alive in Jesus. Amen? Yes? Was your old self raised to life? Aha. We just said our old nature was crucified to the cross. So our old nature has been buried with Christ, but we are born again and made new, and we are raised up to life, a new creation. Now this needs a clap, okay? We are new creations, not old made new. New is new. New creations, never been made before. Then it begs the question, why do we sin? Because there are behaviors, there are sin habits and lifestyles and thought patterns that we still need to work on. And the Bible talks about this process as the process of sanctification. Okay? Sanctification. Our behavior is influenced by how we think, and how we think is influenced by what we believe. Very important. Write this down. Our behavior is influenced by what we think. How we think is influenced by what we believe. And I'm going to give it to you. I'm telling it to you in reverse order. But this is the order, if you can write it down, and we're going to look at this several times through this morning. Write B, T, F, A. Beliefs influence your thoughts. Your thoughts influence how you feel, how you and then you act upon what you feel. Feelings lead to action or behavior. So belief, thought, feeling, action. And you can do an exercise with anything that you're going through. Make a chart. I'm behaving in a certain way. How am I feeling? What have led to these feelings? What are the thoughts behind it? What is the belief behind those thoughts? And if you can catch hold of the beliefs, every lofty thought, and make it subject to Christ, make it subject to Christ, you will change the way you behave. Yeah? We take every thought and we make it captive and we subject it to Christ. Could someone please repeat the whole sentence? So, belief leads to the way we think. The way we think influences the way we feel, and based on how we feel, we act. Okay, you will have sermon notes by Monday, Tuesday. Okay, so we need to pause and ask ourselves, what are my core beliefs? Because this is what guides your thoughts, feelings, and behavior. These core beliefs are there in our subconscious and have been developed since our childhood, through our experience in our family, through what our culture teaches us, through life experience, and yes, even our religious experiences. What we were taught about God, what we were taught about faith. So, how are we set free? When we say Jesus came set us free, it implies that we were not free. We were all under bondage, or we were all slaves. Slaves to what? First of all, we were slaves to sin, and we were slaves to the law. Christ came to set us free from the law, living by rules and regulations which led to a legalistic lifestyle. Jesus called us into a relationship based on fellowship and not on function. If you did John 15 with me, you know I said this day, week in and week out, like a mantra. Jesus came to restore us to a relationship and not to rules and regulation, not to religion. He came to restore fellowship and not function. We were all slaves to sin. God had made a perfect world with Adam and Eve as objects of his love. And in that perfect world, there was freedom. Was there absolute freedom in the garden? Was there absolute freedom in the garden? Think about it. Yes. Yes. From God's perspective, yes. The world and the devil would like you to think otherwise. And therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem. This is what the devil tempted the first couple with, to believe that they were not truly free. As long as they obeyed God and lived within his safe boundaries that he gave them, they were not free. What is all this? Don't eat this, eat this. Come on, enjoy, eat, taste. And every day the devil tempted them. God is holding out on you. He doesn't want you to be like God. That is why he doesn't want you to eat. Come eat and enjoy true freedom. And they fell for that trap. Okay? He tempted them to think that outside God's instruction, he wanted them to believe that God could not be trusted and God did not want them to have freedom. They fell for that and they fell into bondage. True freedom, my friends, is not without boundaries. Those boundaries keep us from pain and misery. When we live by God's will, we are absolutely free. People who have cast off all restraints are the ones actually that are the unhappiest people. And some, because of their freedom, have even landed up in jail. because of the choices they have made. And then we encounter the gospel. The cross sets us free from the penalty and the power of sin. Amen. We have been set free. What have we been set free from? We've been set free from old sinful habits, the unrenewed thought patterns, old identity, that and the requirement to live under the law. But unfortunately, many believe that there's a magic wand. Abracadabra, you know, after we are saved. And that is why we live and we get disillusioned, because we don't know how to handle our sinful habits and we don't know how to handle life's challenges and personal weakness. What we know by faith, we now need to live in the good of and act upon. Our old nature, remember, has been crucified on the cross, but we still need to deal with sinful habits, sinful behavior patterns, and wrong thinking and wrong beliefs. This is what we call the renewing of the mind. We have to unlearn some old ways of thinking and replace them with new belief systems. On the other hand, there are some who say, okay, I need to live by the word. I need to live by the word. And what happens is some try to live by a new set of rules, and they replace that with a whole new set of do's and don'ts that are not found in scripture and that are based on culture and human tradition. And they are harsh on themselves and they judge others by this too. They are sons of God. Don't get it wrong. They are children of God, but whose belief system has to be still renewed. And until the belief system is renewed, they will continue in old patterns of behavior. And this is what Paul is addressing to the Galatians, that they should not live under any more rules. Live by the Spirit that Christ has put in our hearts. We can't do this on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. If you read Galatians 5, there's a whole set of things there. Okay? If you live by the Spirit, you will reap the fruits of the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Against these things, there is no law. He says, but if you live by the flesh, you will reap the fruits of the flesh. What are the fruits of the flesh? Whole list of things there. But, as I said, don't live to kill your old man, because that guy was already crucified on the cross. So we need to live by the Spirit. So if you've got an anger problem, don't say, I won't get angry, I won't get angry, I won't get angry. No. Say, I'm going to be patient today. If your heart is full of hate, don't say, I'm not going to hate. Say, I'm going to love this person. Focus on the fruits of the Spirit and you will reap the fruits of the Spirit. So, how do we do this? Renewing involves removing and replacing. Renewing involves removing and replacing. We get rid of old beliefs and thought patterns and we replace them with new ones. What do we replace them with? We replace them with truth. What is the truth? The truth is the infallible word of God. John 8, 31 and 32 tells us, when we know the truth, you can unmute and say it, everybody. You shall know the truth.
The truth will set us free.
The truth shall set us free. So our job is to find out the truth. You know, we can read our Bibles day in and day out and still not experience this freedom. Why? Because it's not head knowledge, it's not information that challenges us to change our beliefs and thoughts will lead to transformation. This kind of knowing will set us free, where we allow it to challenge our old belief systems. So don't try to change behavior without challenging your belief, because that will only be temporary change that will not last. And you will get frustrated, you will get disappointed. Don't try it on your own, because you will give up. We need His empowering, enabling grace in our lives that comes by when we are immersed in the Holy Spirit. Only then can we produce fruit that will last. This new life is not about behavior modification. This is about heart transformation. Change your beliefs and you will change your behavior. Take, for example, COVID. Do you and I believe COVID can kill us if we are not careful? Yes?
Yes.
Yeah, otherwise you wouldn't be wearing your mask. You wouldn't be sanitizing your hands. So belief that COVID is dangerous has changed our behavior, correct? None of us go out of the house without a mask. We all have bottles of sanitizer and we have a spray. Every parcel that comes into the house is sprayed with this, what is it called? Some kind of germicide, bacteria, whatever. You know, I Dettol spray the handles of the thing because parcels come in. My whole behavior has changed in this last year. Why? Because I have adopted a new belief. What is the new belief? COVID can kill if I am not careful. So apply that to your life. Okay? Apply that to your thought patterns. We change our thought patterns, we change our behavior. Okay? What do we believe about God? That's one thing we need to change. God loves me with an agape love. We all believe that? But I also want you to believe that He likes you. He not only loves you, He likes you. He likes you. When you like someone, you say, "Will you be my chaddi buddy?" Right? And that's what God says to you and I. He loves us. He loves listening to us. He loves spending time with us. He loves your looks. He loves your temperament. He loves your personality, your gifts, your abilities. He died on the cross not to give you worth. He died on the cross because you are worth it. He died in your place. He did not die to make you approved. Because He approved you of you, He died for you. We love Him because He first loved us. He approved of us before eternity. He says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Before the foundations of the world were laid, He chose you to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined you and adopted you to be His son." Read Ephesians chapter 1 again and again till it gets into you. And now He wants to restore you to your original design, identity, and destiny. Amen? But because our world systems are controlled by Satan and the way he thinks, that often way of thinking, I have referred to this often way of thinking, we are part of a system that is based on acceptance, based on performance. And unfortunately, that unconscious behavior, belief system that was ingrained in us from childhood is something we call transference, we transfer onto our Heavenly Father as well, and it's called legalism. I'm going to give you a quote by Charles Stanley. What is legalism? Legalism is an attitude. It's a system of thinking in which an individual attempts to gain God's love and acceptance through works of service. We try to gain God's love through doing works. So, coming now, I've laid the foundation. What is the practical? Help me identify these beliefs. Help me, because if you can't see, you can't change. Correct? So let's look at some of these. What are some of these thought patterns that I need to be set free from? You know, what I have seen in my 28 years of being in ministry and my 40 plus years of being a Christ follower, is that this battle for freedom in Christ is mostly fought here, between your ears, in your mind. Okay? What we think, our wrong beliefs lead to wrong behavior. And this is the biggest battle we need to fight. Change the way you think and you will believe, and you will change the way you think and feel and behave. Okay? Now, let me tell you something. Change is hard. Don't let anyone fool you. Change is hard. I remember when I said, "I'm going to give up sugar." It took 6 months for me to enjoy my first cup of coffee. I hated it. I love my coffee. I love coffee. But it took 6 months for me to begin to enjoy my cup of coffee, and I didn't give up. Had I gone back to sugar, I would have had to start all over again. You know, and it took almost a year before I could say, now I can't stand coffee with sugar. Now that is yuck. You know, it's hard. And relational change and behavior change is, belief change is even harder. Okay? So, unless we recognize behavior patterns in our lives, we can't change. And I'll tell you something that's really sad. Christians can live under bondage their entire life. Shocking, isn't it? We can sing all these songs and still be under bondage. So today, I am really praying, Holy Spirit, can we, will you come in and break every stronghold in every mind in the name of Jesus? We're going to look at three patterns of behavior, belief systems today. Three. Okay? You can, now these three, if we are not careful, can become idols of the heart, and they can become strongholds of thinking. Are you ready? So the first one, look good. Say, look good. This is all about outward appearances. I need to look good. I need to present myself well to people. This is marked by insecurity, and we hide who we really are. You live a life of pretense, of being someone else. It's a bondage, my friends. People live like this all the time. This happens when we do not live out of our identity in Christ. We look for other people and things to prop up our good looks. So, how do we do this? How do we manage this wanting to look good all the time? We lie. We cheat, we deceive, we create false impressions, and we do all kinds of things so that you can have a good impression of me. Let me give you some more details. How does this translate so that you can, so that I can look good in front of people? These people will live for people's approval because we need to look good. You need to think I'm good, you know. These people will perform to gain approval and attention. They get their worth from people's praises. And the shocking thing is that we can even work hard at our spiritual gifts and our natural gifts because that is the way we get affirmed. So serving, that is a beautiful thing, can become an idol because it's feeding this belief that I need to look good. I need people to think I'm such a great guy. I'm such a great gal. Look at the way I serve. And everybody will say, look how serving he is. See how humble he is. And that fuels the need to serve more, more, more. Okay? And the test is, what do you do when people don't appreciate you and you are overlooked? Will you continue to serve with faithfulness and fervor, or has it been driven by some other motivation? People-pleasing behavior patterns are developed to feed this need, and these people find it very difficult to say no because they want you to think that they're the nice guy, they're the nice gal, so they will not say no. And because we don't say no, we are in deception. We are actually telling lies. We say no, we say yes when we mean to say no. Isn't that being untruthful? Will you do this for me? Yes, I'll do it for you. Inside we're saying, oh no. So it corrodes our internal integrity, my friends, and this is serious. Therefore, what happens is you wear a mask. You wear a mask. It will mask itself in good works because you're so dependent on people wanting, you want people's approval. Another way, another sneaky way, because I want to feel good about myself, I get into comparison and unhealthy competition. Comparison comes from poor identity and insecurity. So you're always checking, I do it better than them. I do it better than them. So you're propping up your self-image, okay? Or You can go into, oh no, everybody else is better than me. Everybody else is better than me. Both are fueled by poor identity and insecurity. You can either believe I'm better than, or you can believe I'm not as good as. And if my image is under threat, I then get into competitive behavior, I get into comparison, jealousy of other people's success and blessings. Okay, so I can have an inferiority or a superiority complex. I can be critical, I can be judgmental, and I will gossip. A lot of times we suffer from an inferiority complex, and we need to boost our self-image by the things we do. Okay, and then we feel guilty for not measuring up to our own standards, and we can condemn ourselves and work even harder to prove ourselves. Is this making sense? Is this making sense? Yeah, because unless you can identify these behaviors, you won't know what to change. Okay, they will manipulate people and situations for their own personal gain and advantage. They are opportunity driven, not value driven. So they look for opportunities, whatever that they it is that will make them feel good. They fear failure, and they will have personal agendas that are well masked in serving and other people approval seeking ways. Life in God is about being authentic and real. It's about living from the Father's approval, knowing that you are already loved and accepted. So that's the first one. What is it? Look good. Second one. You ready? The second one is feel good. Okay? Feel good. We live in a very sensuous world. Everything is about feel good. You know, smoke this cigarette and you are, what is that? The Marlboro ad. Be the man, you know? Or wear this Axe effect. And sorry, Marlboro is not in your time. Okay, for us it was the cowboy guy who's standing on the stud farm with that cigarette and it looks so cool, you know? Or have the Axe effect, all the girls will come and around you and you'll feel so good, you know? Buy a flat in hills and dales and, you know, live amongst the exclusive. And you've seen all our ads about, you know, for the exclusive and for the, you know, there's that funny one about this lady saying, oh, don't put all these Ganesh Heights and all. No, say Ridge. We want the name of the building to be Ridge. We want the name of the building to be Flower Valley. And, you know, so we feel good about the apartment in which we're living. So everything is about feel good. Name of your building is also important. You know, what is that? Green meadows, verdant heights. And, you know, we want all these fancy, funny things, okay? But listen, you can't always feel good. God has given us a lot of emotions. God feels angry. Do you agree? God is grieved. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. If I'm giving you some news, check up your Bible. God feels sad. Jesus wept. He is happy. He is joyful. He delights over you with singing, it says. Isn't it? So God has created us with this whole array of emotions. Emotions tell us about what is going on inside of us and what and how we need to respond. Listen, if you didn't feel angry at injustice, I'd say you have a problem. When you hear about rapes, when you hear about murders, does it not make you angry? It should. If you don't grieve when a loved one dies, I'll say you're a heartless person. Isn't it? If you don't feel sad when evil things happen around you, that would be a case for concern. So, we have all these emotions, but we are not ruled by emotions. They are markers for how we are experiencing the world around us. Our feelings are a response to our thoughts, which are dictated by our beliefs. If we believe that all negative emotions, okay, are from the devil, and an indication that I do not have faith, then what will happen? I will begin to deny those emotions and I will live in unreality. I will live in unreality. I will suppress my true feelings, masking it with religious mumbo jumbo. Have you heard religious mumbo jumbo? Anybody can give an example? How are you feeling? Oh, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. There's a big blooming thing sticking out of your neck and you're feeling blessed. You know? There is a place of confession. We do not deny facts, we declare truth. Hear me what I'm saying. We do not deny facts, we declare truth. So I'm sad that Lassia and Andrew are unwell. Fact. Do you agree? Fact. But I know my God can heal. Truth. Do you see the difference? Fact. Andrew and Lassia are not well. Truth. The sun shall rise with healing in his wings. Amen. That is the truth I hold on to. Okay. I've lost my job. Fact. Oh, no. I have a job. It's there. Where? The truth is, God is my provider. My God shall supply all my needs. So when someone asks you, how are you feeling? Yeah, it's been tough, but I know God will come through to me. That is an honest statement. That is a statement 100% authentic with integrity. Sam started this morning, strangely enough. How are you feeling today? Correct? I'm not in the best of, I'm concerned that they are sick. I'm waiting for them to be completely healed. But I know the victory is mine. That is an honest statement. So do you get what I'm saying? Okay. These people don't like to move out of their comfort zone, the feel-good people. They don't want their life to be challenged. Comfort is an idol, and they will cloak it in spiritual language of, oh, God's grace is there, God's will be done. Are God is not going to go to work, Baba. You need to go to work. You need to work hard. Okay? You need to change if you've got a sin problem. If there is a sinful thought, you need to change. You have to move out of your comfort zone. Okay? They need to feel good about everything. And so what happens is the result is self-medicating addictive behaviors so that you can be on a constant high. Okay? For some it's alcohol, for some it's nicotine, for some it's drugs. Why? Because you need to be in this constant feel good, you know, feel good feeling. I'm thinking of some crazy songs anyway, you know. What a feeling, you know that song from the 70s, 80s. And for some people, religion is also a high. Self-medicating on religion. Okay, a test would be, how do you react when sad things happen in your life? Are you able to acknowledge the pain and still confess the truth found in God's word? Okay, is there no electricity? Because, just a second. Otherwise, if my battery goes, I will be logged out.
Yeah, electricity goes.
Okay, just give me 10 seconds. All right. Okay. Yeah, okay. So you acknowledge your pain, but you also confess the truth found in the Word of God. It's possible that you have a wrong belief system. Look at the Psalms. Okay, they're full of raw questions of reality, isn't it? Look at Jesus. He said at the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, my soul is distressed. Does that mean he did not trust God? Not at all. He did. Okay, my time is up. Can I have 5 minutes more? and I will do the third one with you. Okay, so look good, feel good, and the third one is be right. Be right. This behavior is fueled by the belief that I need to be perfect. Perfectionism is what drives what I do and how I relate with people. It keeps me from being who I truly am because there's no place for weakness. Any failing is viewed as I am a failure. I am useless. I can't do anything right. Therefore, because I expect people to be perfect, when I fail, I think now that people will also reject me because I am letting them down. I am a disappointment. I am a waste of time. You see how the narrative gets twisted in the head. They haven't said any such thing. But because you have that need to be right or perfect, you think now, oh, everybody else is also judging me by this standard. So we need to be right at any cost. And this can lead to lying, cover up, deceitful behavior, rationalizing our faults, blaming others, inability to take responsibility for our actions. They will find it very difficult to share their weaknesses, be vulnerable and authentic. Apologizing and owning up is the hardest thing for them to do, and their self-worth is attached to what they do and not to who they are in Christ. These people therefore are unable to even show grace to others. They have a high expectation how everyone else should behave, and when they don't, they feel let down and disillusioned. These people forget that they have their own flaws and weaknesses. To be right, they will exercise control through driving the narrative of what is going on in their life. You know, they did this to me, they did that to me. I am right. But because they all did this, that is why this is happening. And they create a reality that suits them. A test would be, how quick are you to admit your fault? How quick are you to repent and seek forgiveness? Or do you find yourself arguing, explaining, rationalizing, blaming, excusing for things that you need to take responsibility for? Are you able to overlook other people's weaknesses and give grace? Remember, 70 times 7? All of us, now, say this. I have all these three wrong belief systems in me. Okay? All of us have these three belief systems working to different degrees to the measure that we have gained victory. Okay? And trust me, we'll never completely gain victory, not on this side of eternity. We will find ourselves slipping into these, but now that you have tools, you will be able to catch these ways of thinking and subject it to Christ and the Word of God. So what is my response? Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Now Paul is talking about legalism and going back to the old covenant of circumcision, etc. But the principle still holds true, okay? And applies to any belief or behavior that is not in line with the freedom that Christ has won for us. So how do I respond? Very quickly. For the look good problem, know that God approves of you and gives you unconditional worth. He delights in you. He does not think badly of you when you fail. I am declared righteous and I have nothing to prove to anyone. What is the remedy for feel good? Know that God will not leave you alone. He is always with you in your highs and lows. He will not reject us when we have a bad day. He is close to the brokenhearted and the crushed in spirit. He knows your thoughts even before you can speak them. You are fully accepted and eternally loved. We transform our beliefs by taking every thought captive and subjecting it to the truth found in the Word of God, and make them obedient to that truth by meditating on it and replacing our convictions and beliefs. This will release me from wanting to create an impression that everything is fine, honky-dory. I will have an accurate assessment of who I am and where I am right now. And for the be right, Know that God loves me and accepts me despite my weakness, sin, and failings. He does not punish me as my sins deserve, but His grace comes rushing in when I acknowledge my wrongdoings and repent. He is for me, He is not against me. He loves me completely and will never reject me. It was for freedom Christ set us free. And this starts with your beliefs and how it affects the way you think, and how you think affects your feelings, and how your what you feel affects your behavior. It'll be helpful, you know, I've been making small pieces of paper like this, and I've been doing an exercise with this BTFA. Okay, so I'll give you an example. Say the action is serve more to get approval. What is the feeling? I feel good when I'm appreciated. What is the thought? I need to do good things more and more because people love me when I serve and when I do these things. What is the belief behind that? My worth and value comes from what I do and not who I am and my identity in Christ. Do you see that? And you take this with anything and you follow through this, and it will lead you up to the faulty belief system. When you catch that faulty belief system, subject it to the truth you find in Scripture and replace and renew your mind. Let's pray. Father, so much information. Jesus, Lord, I pray that you'll help it just get into us, filter down through our mind, into our hearts, and into our spirits, Lord, that we will live as truly free, because who the Son sets free is free indeed, because we are the children of God. Amen.